Celebrities often face financial challenges that require the assistance of a financial advisor to help manage their wealth and long-term financial stability. Coming up, we cover a few cautionary tales from Hollywood to learn what not to do with your money and offer tips to help you save more for retirement right after this.
And now, Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Wealth Health Radio is the program. Joe Murphy's here. Joe's been helping folks for more than 20 years. Murphy Wealth Management is where you find him. And I'm Steve Siddall. We have got a lot to talk about today, Joe. And I am anxious to get into these Hollywood celebrities because, you know, we assume that they must do everything right. And boy, they really don't.
There's some, like the intro said, there's some cautionary tales out there. And, you know, people are people. Sometimes you're jettisoned into fame and celebrity and, you know, you don't have the background or the expertise to handle the financial matters. That's why we hear it's a recurring thing with some of these Hollywood celebrities, and they just get way in over their head on the finances. And I think it'll be kind of interesting to go through a couple of these case studies in this show to talk a little bit about what went wrong and what they may have done to avoid or correct the situation that they were facing. So we got some fun celebrities coming up. But obviously, Steve, there's lots of news out there.
Yes. And this is something that, I mean, you know, we were both kind of talking about this, I think, separately. But it's a bill that's been reintroduced to Congress, implying that it was there before, called You Earned It, You Keep It Act. Pretty interesting, I think.
Very interesting. And the You Earned It, You Keep It Act is referring to Social Security revisions, which is what we've been pining for on this show for like 6 to 8 months. We've seen, you know, past bills or past acts be proposed and really go nowhere. It's very difficult with this Congress to get anything through. And most of these things are gonna require, Steve, bipartisan support. This Congress ain't having it. So
no.
I like some of the ideas. And the You Earned It, You Keep It Act was proposed by that sponsor, and it's a Democrat from Minnesota named Angie Craig. And if you remember Angie Craig, about a year, I think a year ago today, maybe, or a year ago this month, she was the one that was held hostage in a DC elevator by some crazed lunatic. I think he ended up like punching her, and she was held hostage and she was released. And it turns out this guy had been arrested numerous times for assault and, you know, out on the streets in DC. So unfortunately, coming from Minnesota to DC, she got a taste of catch and release. And fair or not fair, what this lady did is she really, I mean, she's a smart lady, very smart lady, but she really went on the offensive with Social Security and what's going on right now. We've talked that it's a third rail of politics. No one wants to touch it. But now we're seeing a little bit more talk happening among Congress and among reps just saying, look, we have to address this. This one in particular is two main components to the You Earned It, You Keep It Act. And there's pros and cons to it. And I'd like to review that if that's okay, Steve.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I'm very curious to get your take on it.
Okay, absolutely. Well, the big provision that is going to be ear-to-ear smile for a lot of people is it is going to do away with federal taxation on Social Security benefits. About time. Notice I said federal, not state, but still, federal's the biggie. So in 2025, they would do away with all federal taxation on Social Security. Here, okay, so we're going to cut that taxation revenue, which I believe is prudent because we've already been taxed on this money. There's absolutely zero reason for us to get taxed again on it. It makes no sense. However, this is where bipartisan support is really going to come in, and this is why I think this is probably going to go nowhere. They're looking at a Social Security tax increase. So the wage base, as most of our listeners know, the payroll tax wage base last year was $160,200. The wage base increased to $168,000 this year in 2024. And what that means is anything over $168,600 of income, you're not being taxed. So this is this big contentious thing between Democrats and Republicans. They want higher income earners to pay for this. So what this act is saying is we're going to pay for it with our high income earners, and they are going to increase that wage limit to over $250,000, which means that high earners are going to pay that 6.2% payroll tax on nearly $100,000 more wages. So, you know, I love the reduction and I love the elimination of the federal taxation because, Steve, if you think about how it's set up, remember, these levels were set back in 1983 and there was no indexing for rising costs of goods and services, aka inflation. So the levels right now for a single person where Social Security starts to become taxed is $25,000 for 50% taxation, $34,000, you're at 85% federal taxation. Married filing jointly, $32,000 is the threshold. 50% of your Social Security is going to be taxed. And then over $44,000, you're looking at 85%. So to me, it makes a lot of sense to maybe not just say, hey, we're going to put this all on the high income earners to do away with the federal taxation. What I'd love to see is do away with the federal taxation on Social Security. However, raise the thresholds to reflect the rising costs of goods and services. And we just had our inflation report, and unfortunately, it came in hot and equities went down. But this is a thing that we can look at. And right now, if we calculated all the way back from 1983 to today, the Social Security taxation threshold should be about $148,000 for married filing jointly. Wow. To me, Steve, that makes sense because you have a lot of a middle America that's in this income level that's right. getting absolutely hammered on both ends in retirement or in, as an earner. So to me, it makes a lot of sense not to just say, you know what, we're going to take from this guy to make sure these guys don't have to pay. Why not have something that makes sense to a lot of people? And I believe people making that much money can afford additional taxation, but we need to raise those thresholds. To me, that is the solution that may garner bipartisan support, but this bill is going to be DOA with this Congress. I love that they're acting on it. I love that they're proposing things, but that wage base increase is just going to be a no-fly zone with Republicans in Congress.
Why is that?
You know, their constituents are going to be the ones that are giving them money. And a lot of them are high income earners and they don't want to pay any more to Uncle Sam than they have to.
I see. So, okay. So that's the rub.
That's the rub. But there is a middle ground. There is a balance here. And I'm really hoping that they raise those thresholds to levels that reflect our prices today. And I think you would have a happy medium. Because right now, all this bill and the, you know, Massey proposed a bill too from Kentucky, all these Social Security acts that are going in to say, hey, we need some type of change, really aren't going to do much more than kick the can down the road. The analysis on this act, Steve, said that they could kick the can down the road another 20 years. And then in 20 years, we're going to be in the same boat in 2054 that we were in 2034 with the Old Age and Survivors Trust depleting. We need a real solution, but we need it to make sense, not just to one part of our population, but to all of them. And that's really what it boils down to, Steve, with legislation and getting things through. You have to compromise. And that seems very difficult for our leaders in Washington right now.
Exactly. Right. Well, again, to be able to remove the federal tax from Social Security, everybody loves that idea.
Yes.
But again, they were saying that, you know, they were kicking the can down the road until 2050. Don't you think that politicians on both sides really want to do that anyway? Because then they don't have to deal with it. And it sounds good.
Absolutely. And that's going to be probably the solution is kicking the can down the road. It always has been. So why is it going to be any different now, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, great. Let's you're on top of all this stuff and I look forward to talking with you more about this. And I want to do a little bit of this, the Hollywood forks. Well, not just Hollywood, but athletes. They really suffer from it as well. Steve McNair, a legendary quarterback. Let's just listen to this. And the guy can run. Yeah, I mean, he was amazing.
Did that guy just say Michael McVick?
Yes.
I think he did.
He did, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I just caught that. I was like, wait a minute here. Air McNair, he was fun to watch. I mean, really fun to watch. And I loved watching those old Houston helmets, the old Oiler helmets. Those were absolutely fantastic. And man, he could just jet it up like Warren Moon. It was awesome to watch. So not so awesome, though, what unfolded with Mr. McNair's estate. And really, Steve, when it boils down to it, he was unfortunately killed in 2009. He was only 39 29 years old. So young guy with his whole life in front of him. And I'm not going to get into the tragedy or what happened. Right. But unfortunately, he left his family in a very precarious situation, because at 39 years old, Steve, you're not thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, I could pass away and I need to make sure my family is situated. Probably the last thing on his mind, if it ever came across. But when you have those types of assets and you have a loving family, you want to make sure that those assets are protected. Some people can do it very simply. Some people need more complex planning. And for someone in Steve McNair's financial situation, he really needed to go to an estate planning attorney and get these documents drawn up. Because what happens, Steve, when you pass away intestate with no will, you're leaving everything up to the courts, and all your family is going to get dragged through the mud. Relationships become a focal point. It creates tension in families. It's a whole huge mess. And then you have someone that you don't know determining where your assets go and who gets them, instead of you as the person that made all this money and want to take care of your family. This is where estate planning is absolutely critical. And look, we see these stories all day long. And hopefully someone out there, you know, especially with what's going to happen in 2026, Steve, you know, with the estate tax, it's crazy right now. You know, there's a very short window to plan now. If you haven't looked or talked to an estate planning attorney or your financial advisor, what you want to do is you want to make sure you have these basic protection documents in place. And what that enables you to do, Steve, it allows you to retain control even when you are not on this planet. That is the big thing for me. And that is why I set this up for my family, because if I am no longer here to make the shots or call the shots financially, I have these documents drawn up to protect Amber, to protect Connor, and make sure things flow exactly the way that I want. And some stranger isn't coming in saying, ha, you know what, this is going over here. Nope, this is wrong. This is going over to this guy. That's bunk. And you have an opportunity while you are alive to take care of this. And it is so, so important, guys. Please, 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 if you have questions, call us. Call your local estate planning attorney. If you need a referral, we have one in Illinois. We have one in Indiana that we work with very closely. They are awesome at what they do, and they can absolutely help you out. And for some people, Steve, it may be as simple as getting a will, a POA. Maybe not a trust is necessary. You know, this is why you want to do this initial call or this initial talk to an attorney, to make sure that you and your family are protected and your assets are going exactly the way that you need them to flow.
That sounds great. Boy, and we are out of time, Joe. Let's invite folks to call. Let's come on in and get this solved once and for all.
You got it. And this offer is for the next 10 callers. So if you are in a mode right now where you are looking at protecting your family, estate planning, or you want to know how to get around that estate tax revision that's coming up in 2026, we got your answers. Next 10 callers, Steve's going to give you that magic number, and we are going to get to work. Steve, let's let it roll.
You got it, Joe. 800-930-5905. It's why we're giving you the opportunity to review your individual circumstances. No cost, no obligation. You can find out about how much risk you might be taking. Do you know how much you're paying in fees or commissions? What about tax liabilities? And of course, a lifetime retirement income plan that includes maximizing your Social Security. Give us a call right now, 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. Quick break. We're back. More on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy right after this.
When we come back, we're going to continue discussing the celebrities that have faced financial challenges and what you can do to make sure that does not happen to you or your family right after this.
Hey, we're back, folks. This is Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. I'm Steve Siddall. Joe, an independent fiduciary, Murphy Wealth Management. You'll find the website mwmfinancial.tax is the website, mwmfinancial.tax. And boy, it is tax season, Joe.
And oh, yeah.
This is something I know that, you know, we're talking about celebrities and what happened to them. And, you know, there are many tales. One of them that comes to mind is Billy Joel. And Billy Joel, I mean, again, one of my all-time favorites.
Hey, on the sound with the overtime. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind.
And there you go. That's, I mean, again, Billy Joel, obviously, he just came out with a new single. Did you see that?
I didn't see the new single, but I definitely have an affinity for Billy Joel and his music. So I grew up, Steve, in a place called Allentown, Pennsylvania.
You might
remember the Billy Joel song. So
yes,
he was joined at the hip with all the Allentonians out in Pennsylvania. But, you know, the guy, unfortunately, he's an artist. And, you know, we're all not good at everything out there. That's what makes us individuals and makes us unique. But he didn't want to compromise his artistic creativity by learning the business and the business side. I mean, finance and understanding how to manage or at least get people that he could trust, a firm that he could trust to manage his amassed wealth. And Billy Joel right now is worth. So what we're going to talk about is a loss of about $30 million. Billy Joel's net worth is $260 million. So he's not hurting. No need to feel bad. But this is a really important lesson to learn about trusting people. One of the most common mistakes that we see, Steve, is people will do a transaction. They'll make a trade. They'll do a rollover at the bequest of a neighbor or a cousin or something like that that may not be qualified to give that or provide that advisement. And it looks like Billy Joel's situation was fairly similar. He was going through a divorce. He decided to retain his brother-in-law, well, soon to be ex-brother-in-law, as his financial manager. It's a fiduciary position. And I don't know if this guy was actually qualified with any type of planning, any type of finance, any type of licensing, but you can trust anyone to do it. You know, if you want to trust someone to manage those affairs, you can. Well, this guy went yeehaw. He sold a lot of Billy Joel's music. I think to the tune of about $30 million, he ended up going bye-bye. That's horrible. And, you know, it's a gut punch because you're trusting someone intimately. And this is that cautionary tale is know who you are trusting. Do a little research. Vet them out. Make sure, especially if you're dealing with $10, $20, $30 million, you want to make sure you know who you're doing business with so you can avoid things like this. And Billy Joel probably looks back on it and says, hey, you know what? Very important lesson learned. I'm sure he's with a reputable firm now. Yeah, and won't make this mistake. And look, that's what makes us human. That's what makes us wise is our experiences. I tell Connor that all the time. You know, what gives you wisdom is experiences, you know, both good and bad. And the good ones are fun to enjoy, but the bad ones are lessons. And people that grow through life learn to actually learn from these mistakes and say, you know what, I'm not doing that again, or there's a better way. And that's to me what life is all about. So unfortunate this has happened to Billy Joel, but glad to see he learned a lesson and that he's moving on and his net worth, really, $30 million. Plinko
not
chip
too shabby.
For him.
No, not
he's
too
all
shabby.
Good to go.
Exactly. And it's funny. I was in the Army, and this would have been the late 70s. I think it would have been about 1977, maybe 78. And the original Piano Man tour, I saw him in Frankfurt.
Oh, so cool. That's
yeah, very
something
cool.
That you never forget. Yeah, the guy's an entertainer and just phenomenal.
I mean, I've seen him multiple times since then, but that was special.
Oh, yeah, that's something you never forget. That's
exactly.
Really cool, Steve. Awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to talk, I mean, we're going to get back to some of these guys and gals that made mistakes, but you made me aware of Medicare, a Medicare fraud scheme. And you know, we hear about Medicare fraud all the time, it seems. You know, there's some physician or some, you know, clinic or whatever, and they're billing. But this story, Joe, I mean, this one blows me away. What
and
the heck's going on?
It's not the first scam with Medicare. There was one actually, two Chicago guys, I think, were accused with those COVID testing scams.
Oh,
and that
sure.
was minor compared to this one. I don't know the exact number of it, but I think it was in like 30, 40 million. This is a $2 billion scam that Medicare. And remember, Medicare is an entitlement, but it's also an unfunded obligation. Medicare has no business losing $2 billion, which represents about a fifth of what they spend on medical supplies. So this is really interesting, and I'm following this story because I want to see how it evolves. And what ended up happening is they were using low-cost catheters, okay? And they were basically billing Medicare obscene amounts of money for these catheters. So people were noticing, people that check their explanation of benefits on Medicare were noticing 9 months later, of course, because that's when the EOB comes out, but they were noticing these charges. And if they had a Medicare supplement, the insurance companies were catching these right away. And it looked like about seven companies that had no affiliation with this were actually billing Medicare for these catheters. So it was a huge, complex scam that the FBI will neither acknowledge nor deny. But to me, 500,000 people were basically used through this scam. My big question, and the point that hasn't been brought up, is how in the heck did they get 500,000 Medicare beneficiary information? To me, Steve, this catheter thing is minor compared, and not, I'm not saying a $2 billion loss is minor by any means. But the part that I'm really intrigued, and if we actually have a real investigation on this, was there a breach? Was there a breach in Medicare that gave these people access to bill in the name of 500,000 Medicare recipients' names?
Holy cow.
I mean, Steve, $2 billion. And the thing is that Medicare wouldn't have caught it because their EOBs come out 9 months later. It was the Medicare supplement companies that were catching it and started catching wind of this. So to me, it was the data from the National Association of Accountable Care Organization. They're the ones that really geared into this thing and figured out what was going on. But I still, to me, it all boils down. There's going to be scams all over the place, especially in this day and age, Steve. It seems every day there's a new scam or someone's grifting off something. But this one particularly is very interesting because the Democratic-run governments, you know, they're all about bigger government and benefits. And that's just the way Democrats are. That's the way that they view things. To me, though, I'm going to be seriously watching how this evolves because I'm curious to see with Democrats in charge, they love these government programs. Are they going to highlight the abuse of taxpayer money? Remember, it's our money they stole. It's not the government. It's our money they stole. Exactly. So are they going to go after these people? Are we going to get the truth? To me, you see the scams, you see the things going, but the bigger thing that we all need to focus on is how did this happen?
That's the question. And I mean, those are the kinds of questions I hope some, you know, journalist decides to ask.
Yeah. And you know what? We are seeing some journalists. One of my favorite is that Peter Doocy guy. I love him. He has real hard questions. And to me, we need more of that. You know, we need more people, you know, grilling our leaders saying, you know, are you doing the right thing? Are you is this for the betterment of the American people? And I hate, Steve, in this day and age that we have to be suspicious of our government. You know, that is not fair. That's not fair to any American citizen that we have to look over our shoulders in this day and age and say, are they doing it for us or are they doing it for them? It's almost like a commission-based product. You know, it's wild out there. So I think that, you know, in a nutshell, I think we all have to be wise. We all have to have patience, but we all have to have eyes in the back of our heads. You know, you always have to be looking. And if you have questions on how to check your EOB, please give us a call. You know, you're just going to log on to Medicare.gov. You're going to get your EOB. Remember, it's 9 months delayed. If you have a supplement, you can call. But do that. Look to see if you have been billed or Medicare has been billed through you for one of these catheters. You know, it's like $3,000 they were charging Medicare for a catheter.
Crazy stuff.
And
they were super cheap. And I was amazed to see that when in 2021, these companies had 14 orders.
Yes.
And in 2023, they're looking at, like you said, 500,000.
Well, I think they ran a test. You know, test with Miner to see if they could get through it. And then usually when a thief gets a little bit of positivity and they make it work, then they go overboard and end up getting snagged. And I think that's what happened. They just tried to bilk as much as they could, as quick as they could before the government caught on.
Because so they knew now, they were going to.
There's no doubt. I mean, they knew those bills, but they were relying on that 9 month delay with Medicare to be able to leave the country or whatever they were going to do. This was organized, you know, without a doubt, but it's everywhere. And you really have to be careful out there. So check your EOBs, look at your supplements, see if you've been billed. If you have, you can report it. Medicare.gov will probably have something on there. But if you have questions on who to report, call our office. We have a link we can email out to you.
Sure. Well, I mean, again, just by the numbers, let's see, across 1 million patients that spiked by more than 1,600%. I mean, come on. What about, government corruption do you not see there?
Yeah, I mean, red flag after red flag, and it's just ignored because it's not, you know, it's not in the face, and they don't want to draw attention to it. They don't want to draw attention to think that an entitlement program could have fraud. So will this be brushed under the rug? Going to be interesting to see, but I am going to be following this. So if I do have an update.
I'm on top of it as well, Joe. Yep, I love these stories.
Me too. It's fun to follow. And, you know, you just want to see the evolution and you want to get some gratification that these people have been punished and that it won't happen again.
Let's hope. And well, here's what we don't need to hope. We can just open up the phone lines and invite folks to call because they do.
Yeah, let's absolutely do that, guys. And, you know, every week we invite 10 people from AM 560 to call and have a conversation with this fiduciary financial advisor that's in your ear right now. This is your opportunity to ask those burning questions. Are you in a retirement red zone? Do you have trading questions? Are you looking at tax efficiency? These are all things that we can talk about. There's no pressure, no obligation. It's a phone call with me, 15 minutes. Steve, you give them that magic number and I'm going to get to work.
800-930-5905. That is the number, folks. It's no cost, no obligation to help you get a better handle on your own financial situation. You can find out what your investments might be costing you because of fees or commissions. What about tax implications? Yes, that will be discussed. And income that you can securely generate sustainably throughout your retirement. Give Joe a call and find out how he can put it to work for you. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, pick up the conversation right here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
With a few financial planning lessons from Hollywood in mind, we explore how working with a financial advisor can help you get a better handle on your financial past, present, and future right after this.
We're back on Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Siddall, and Joe Murphy is here. Joe, an independent fiduciary with Murphy Wealth Management, helping folks for more than 20 years. And you are you are the one-stop shop. I know we talk about that all the time, but for you to have, you know, those multiple disciplines within under the same roof, I mean, that's unusual.
Well, Steve, like most things in life, it's not just one way. You know, you need multiple experts in taxation, in estate planning, in investment planning, retirement planning. These are all big time components of a successful retirement. So to me, I can't know it all. You know, there's no way. It would be ridiculous for me to even try. But that's why involving people that we trust, you know, and that's why Amber and I are glued at the hip as husband and wife. But she understands tax code like no one I've ever seen. And it really helps our clients to create tax efficiency during that transition. So when you are in a distribution phase and you are taking some of these retirement assets, tax efficiency becomes key. And that's really what it boils down to. And then wealth transfer with the attorney, insurance planning to make sure we have that umbrella coverage. You know, these are all things that need to be hit. And I wanted to do it so our clients didn't have to come in here, tell all their intimate details, share all that data. Then I'm sending them to some other professional down the road and saying, all right, start over again. But this time it's going to be with legacy planning or insurance. I didn't like that. You know, I wanted to make sure that they had one relationship that they could rely on and that we had other professionals that could help build the plan in the most efficient manner allowed by law.
Now, that just makes good sense to me. And again, folks, if you want to get a head start, here's the number. It's 800-930-5905. So we're talking about, about taxes, right?
Yes.
Cautionary tales from Hollywood. Yes, we got that. But again, what we want to do, I like that, protecting our past, present, and future when it comes to retirement planning. And I think so often people are only consumed with one area of planning for retirement, and that's the get out. Right?
Yes. Take the job and shove it.
Exactly.
That's really, you know, that's number one. But you also have to think about efficiency and how to do things and having the right expertise.
Take this job and shove it.
That's it.
I ain't working here no more.
There you go.
I love it.
I couldn't resist.
You know what? It's my retirement key song. So I love that. But to me, that's the best part is when you can get someone in that situation where they can actually say that it feels good. You know, it feels good to know that you have a strong foundation going into this unknown period. Look, it's different for everyone. Some people may want to open up a business. Some people may want to take it easy. Some people may want to travel. There is no one size fits all when it comes to retirement plans. And that's where you need that relationship and that communication. But tax plan, I think, is one of the most critical because sometimes people get so focused on growth and making sure their assets are growing, they don't realize how bad they're getting clobbered when they're actually using this money. You know, we talk about the order. We talk about creating maybe with conversion some tax efficiency down the road. There's so many different things that you can do, like charitable giving or setting up a trust or setting up an estate plan, that can really help create that tax efficiency. Because guys, listen, you know, 2026, we're looking at some major changes. That Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017 was meant to be temporary, and the odds that are that's going to sunset J1 2026 are great. And if that happens, we're definitely going to be looking at higher taxation. We're going to revert back to those old tax brackets. We're also looking at the estate tax more than being cut in half. So people that are sitting on, you know, $4 million of assets today, they need to be planning, because you don't want to give up that money for your beneficiaries or for your legacy planning to the U.S. government in the form of an estate tax. There are things that we can do. And that's what I want to have a conversation with anyone out there that is sitting on it and hasn't done anything yet. This is a great time to call in, have that conversation, and see if we can set up a plan for you to avoid that estate tax change, because it is going low, down to about $6 million for married couples. So $6 million isn't what it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. There's a right. lot of qualifiers that are in that situation. And right now we're talking to people that have $4 million in assets or greater. Those are the people that we want to talk to, because I would so much rather set up a plan to avoid that estate tax than have our clients go into it and lose that money for their beneficiaries.
Absolutely. 800-930-5905. That is the number, folks, if you want to get in. So yeah, we need to have a tax plan. And how do you fit into that? I mean, I know you're not a CPA, but yet you certainly understand taxes, as does Amber.
I do, and it's almost through osmosis. You know, Amber and I talk.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, but we do. We talk together on every plan. I bring Amber in on every single plan, and her insight is tremendous. And that allows me to create tax efficiency. So I'm doing it basically vicarious. I am not the tax expert. I know enough to be dangerous, but we have a professional here that knows it inside and out. That's fun to rely on. It makes me feel good. It makes our clients feel good knowing that we have an EA, a tax code expert, reviewing all these retirement income plans. That's the way that you want to do it. To avoid that, you're just setting yourself up to pay excess taxation.
Sure. And one of the things we've talked about this entire show, we're talking about an estate plan or a legacy plan and how important that is. Don't put that off, because I think more people put that off than any other part of retirement planning. Am I right in saying
Oh,
that?
Without a doubt, Steve. It's the final phase that easily gets skipped over, because, you know, you did this huge retirement plan, you got assets where they need to be. Now, all of a sudden, this guy's talking, hey, you need to sit down with the attorney, get a trust drawn up or an pilot or whatever it might be. And, you know, some people want to avoid that. They're just like, I'm ready to go. You know, I know what I'm getting in. I'm done. I'm all good. That's where you can't stop. That's where you need to put that umbrella around with those estate planning documents. And again, there is no cookie cutter. Everyone's situation is going to be different. Your needs, your wants, your dreams for your family are going to be different. So the documents that you're going to need are going to be different. But we look at a basic level. Everyone should have a will. You do not want the court of Illinois or Indiana determining what happens to your assets. You should also have a POA. You know, if you're unable, whether you're in a car accident or a major medical and you're unable to communicate, you want a loved one to be able to make those decisions and have that conversation. Advanced directives, which Brian Less was on about 6 months ago, was talking about the changes in Indiana on the advanced care directives. Mm-hmm. But these are very important. You know, let your wishes be known. It's always smart to plan. And those that plan are the ones that succeed. You can't account for every contingency, but I would much rather have a game plan going into an unknown situation than not have anything at all and wing it. You're setting yourself up to fail.
Absolutely. And so we talk about diversification and failing to diversify your investments. But again, if I'm working with you, I don't really need to worry about that, because you're going to do it for me and show me what you're doing.
You know what, Steve, this is a perfect time to talk about asset allocation and diversification going into a potential recessionary environment. I would love to just take a couple minutes and talk about, you know, we just had a hot inflation report can't come out.
Yep.
Market went tumbling, and that's to be expected, because what is Wall Street looking at? Rate cuts. And when you have inflation increasing, those rate cuts may stay higher for longer. And although 6 rate cuts were priced into 2024, now we might be looking at 3 or 4. more. But if they don't get this inflation at that 2% goal, we might be looking at no rate cuts or rate cuts down to the second half of 2024 or later. That could create havoc. And we're looking, everyone thinks this cycle is taking so long. Why aren't we having a recession? Did we get through it? If you listen to Janet Yellen, we've landed on our feet and all's good. But there's four likely outcomes from here. One is going to be recession. One is going to be a Goldilocks result, which Janet Yellen is promoting. The next is going to be overheating. And the fourth and the final would be that dreaded stagflation. So there's about a 60% likelihood that we do hit a recession at some point, whether it's 2024 into 2025. The economic indicators are there and they're moving in that direction. Where should you put your money, or what asset allocation should you use? Remember, we're all about diversification, but the asset sectors are so important. Some very successful past historical asset classes in a recessionary environment are going to be large caps, your dividend payers, defensive sectors, huge. Infrastructure equity. So by that, I'm talking about utilities, gas, electricity, telecommunication, water companies. These are all very good, or in history have proven to be very good equities to own during a recessionary environment. The Goldilocks, which is basically about a 5% chance we land on our feet and all we needed was just a little bit of time to get through this. Right. If that's the case, you do want to diversify. You want to be in some value, some small caps. Cyclicals are big. Cyclicals are going to be auto, healthcare, retail, construction. That's how you want to do it if we are just moving through this and there are no issues. Overheating, and that's the third one, 15% likelihood that we hit an overheat on the economy. And it seems that's kind of what's kicking. Energy companies, alternative energy, that's where you want your money. And then stagflation, this is the doozy. That's when we have high unemployment, slowing economic growth. That high unemployment, we haven't seen the job losses yet, but we're starting to see layoffs almost every week now. So it doesn't take long for that part to crack. It's not going to be a 10-year run-up. We could see it crack. And if we do, and we do have stagflation, this is really where you want to have a balanced allocation, diversified across growth, value, equity style, and focus on companies with what's called pricing power, where you feel you can get, you're looking at their fundamentals, you're looking at their income statement, and you see their share price is not reflective of that income and there's move to go, that's where you want to be. But stagflation is a messy environment, really hoping we avoid that. But a mild recession could be on the docket. And if that's the case, make sure your assets are in the right place. That's the bottom line, Steve. I wanted to make sure I covered that because we're getting a ton of questions. Joe, what should we do? How should we plan? Where should we put our money? Where's safe? These are, if you're an investment person and you want to stay in the market and we start going through recession, these sectors and industries have been proven through history to be successful during those respective outcomes. So that doesn't mean it's going to happen in the future, guys. It just means that in past performance, these sectors have done really well in those particular environments.
Sure. 800-930-5905. Holy cow, I look at the clock. We are out of time, Joe.
I'm spinning, and you know what? We're going to do it one more time. So next 10 callers, you got those burning questions for a fiduciary? I am here, ready to take that call. Steve's going to give you that magic number. You're going to get connected with our friendly reception, and they are going to schedule a phone call with me for 15 minutes. I want to hear what's on your mind. I want to know what your concerns are. And what we can do together is help develop a plan to get you to where you want to be. Steve, give our listeners that magic number, and we're going to get to work.
You got it. 800-930-5905. While we're giving you the opportunity to review your individual circumstances, again, no cost, no obligation, you'll find out things like how much risk you're taking. Maybe there's some red flags that could be a problem for you. Do you really know what you're paying in fees or commissions? Well, let Joe take a deep dive and find out. Potential tax liabilities, been talking about that all day. And of course, a lifetime retirement income plan that includes maximizing that Social Security benefit. So if you want to take advantage of this complimentary review, simply call us right now. 800-930-5905. 10 callers right now. 800-930-5905. Another quick break, but we're coming back. We've got a whole lot more to talk about here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
We need to take a break, guys, but when we return, we're going to jump into some questions from our listeners here on AM 560. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, we're back on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. I'm Steve Siddall, and we have arrived at segment four. That means we've got questions from listeners. And again, let me just remind everybody, the website is mwmfinancial.tax. And if you're feeling for, if you're looking for a little smile, then I would say find the Murphy Wealth Management Facebook page and take a look, because it's always got something positive.
Yeah, definitely some good articles recently out there, and just general information on, you know, us and pictures and positive quotes. And, you know, it's really nice to give a small business a follow. We would appreciate it. So if you have the opportunity and you are on Facebook, really the only time I'm on Facebook is through the business. Personally, I don't really pay much attention to social media. I think it can be a little toxic at times. So, but I love spreading positivity out there. And to me, that's what it's about. And if it brightens one person's day, Steve, I'm all for it.
Me too. 800-930-5905. And let's jump into some of these questions here. Bruce is up first. He says, so what is the current 4% rule in your field now, and how can I develop a better understanding of the new rule of thumb that folks are using to take those withdrawals? I didn't know there was a new
one. It's been revised down to, I believe, 3.2%.
Okay.
To me,
the 3.2% rule.
The 3.2% rule. And obviously, that's the rising cost of goods and services, wreaking the unfortunate problems that we deal with inflation all across the board. You know, we were talking on the show about a year ago that when inflation rears its ugly head, its tendrils get into everything. And it's really, it's a stubborn beast. It's very difficult to get a rid of. But hopefully, this Fed can do some magic and get us out of this and get these prices not only slowed, but moving down. And that's kind of what the hope is. But for a lot of retirees that were relying on that guideline, and that's what it is, that 4% rule guideline for your investment accounts, is if you have a 30-year retirement, 4% is the key mark to say, you know what, you will run out of money before you run out of life. Unfortunately, it's been downgraded to 3.2. And Steve, to me, when I have clients in there and we're looking at the investment accounts, especially in this day and age with this market volatility and all the craziness that's going on, I'll usually show them an income annuity versus, you know, drawing down 3 to 4% of that investment portfolio. Because remember, that investment portfolio is subjected to sequence of returns risk, which means as you're drawing that money down, if you have volatility and that market tanks, everything could be upended. You could run out of money. Whereas with the annuity, you have a much higher payout of account value. So some of the payout factors are all based on age, but for a 65-year-old, you're going to get more like 6% of your account value guaranteed for the rest of your life. You will never run out of money. So the annuities with these interest rates, one of the positive things that have happened in the finance industry is the annuity rates are sky high. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen these things this high in my career. So it's a wonderful time to take a look at an annuity, and it's not a fit for everyone. But I love showing it to people, because when you educate them on not what something is called, but what it does for their situation, you see the light bulb go on. You see the, hey, tell me more about this, or explain this. I love going through the pros and cons of annuities versus investments when we're dealing with retirees, because my job is to maximize that retirement income. And if I can get 6.5% versus 3.2, we're looking at double, you know, double the income for my clients. Why wouldn't I take advantage of that? That's what we show people, Steve. And for Bruce, this is something that I would show you, Bruce. And, you know, the choice is up to you, but we're going to give you that education.
800-930-5905. Sometimes that's all it takes, isn't it, Joe? Where, you know, once you teach them, you know, here's what it is. I mean, you get those aha moments. I know I love it when I have one of those, because like, oh, that's what that means.
That's exactly right, Steve. And that's why we are very thorough when we talk about annuities. We don't just say, hey, here's your income and see you later. And we'll talk about it when they deliver the contract. I want to talk about the surrender schedule, because it is a longer term contract. But when we're dealing with pre-tax funds, it's not very wise go in and take a huge chunk of money of pre-tax. If you've ever done that, you've gotten that notice from Uncle Sam saying, guess what? You owe a lot of money. That is something that we want to absolutely avoid. Right. But going forward, Steve, in a nutshell, not everything's going to be a fit, but you have to make sure the client is understanding how something works before you implement it in their plan. So we're very good at breaking these things down, making sure that our clients understand it. I want them to be able to bring it, to tell it back to me. How does this thing work? And if they can do that, then I'm comfortable placing this or going with the investment side. Both of these things have risk. And for Bruce or whoever else calls in, the investment may be the way to go for you, but the annuity may be the way to go for somebody else. Or there's also that middle ground where we can blend. And that's the fun part for me, is looking at those percentages, whatever the ultimate goal is, whether it's guaranteed income, whether it's no market loss, or whether it's just taking a wild ride on the investment side and saying, you know what, let's rock and roll and maybe we can triple this thing. Yeah. Whatever floats their boat, I want to make sure they're educated on all of it.
All right, fair enough. 800-930-5905. Harry has a question. He says, I understand the limitations of seeking financial advice from friends and family. Boy, don't we all. He said, I've also had some negative experiences with financial advisors that I've worked with in the past. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right on the money. You know, there are going to be friends and families that may be really good traders and have dug into research and they know what they're talking about. You also might have a friend or family that doesn't know what they're talking about, but they still sound like they do. You know, I have a family member like that. Love him to death, but he loves to talk. And, you know, if you fact check him, if we had a little fact checker behind him, it would be going off like bing, 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 bing. But, you know, to me, it's really vetting the person that you're getting advice from. You know, to me, fiduciary is where you want to be. If you are looking to do a big move or you're looking to retire, like a big transition, I want to be with someone that has my best interest at heart. And that is the oath that fiduciaries take. But your question, Harry, is, you know, there is negative experience with all types of financial advisors. And of course, that gets a lot of press, and it should. Mm-hmm. You know, you should feel comfortable with the person that you're with. They shouldn't have an arrest record. They shouldn't have bankruptcies. You know, they should be managing their own affairs in perfect order. But that doesn't mean that that's going to weed out all the bad people. With humans, there's good, there's bad in every single industry, every job sector. It's up to you, unfortunately, to make sure that you're making a good decision. And if you have questions on how to vet, give us a call. We will show you. And I always encourage people, Steve, don't go with the first financial advisor. And that includes clients that come into here. Interview someone else. Compare and contrast. What do you like? What do you don't like? That's really how you make the ultimate good choice for you and your family, is taking a little bit of time to make sure you choose the right advisor.
Sure. I mean, you know, you talk about advisors, and I do a segment for one of our local shows called Brokers Behaving Badly. Oh. And I have an unending supply.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you got some good stories. They're out there. You know,
some
I hear
good
them
stuff.
At the,
yeah.
But I hear them at the conferences, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what? Like, this is crazy. No way.
And it's mostly seniors. You know, they hit on the seniors because they've got money and they're vulnerable.
They're very vulnerable. And to me, nothing upsets me more than that.
Yeah, me too.
And I wish, like I said, there's a special place for someone that takes advantage of someone like that. And I think most of our listeners can figure out where that special place is.
I think we do, Joe. 800-930-5905. Harry, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Jax has a very simple question, which could be a lengthy answer. What are some ways to minimize tax liability?
Oh, Jack, there's lots and lots of ways. And the strategy that's going to apply to you is going to be unique to you. But just for example, you know, the efficiency of Roth conversions, making sure that you're not going into retirement with a boatload or the lion's share of your money in pre-tax. You know, you are subjected now. Now you're at the mercy of the U.S. government, and they get to determine their share of your money at a future date. To me, that's not the way to play the game. So if you're sitting on a large pile of money, Roth conversions may make a lot of sense for your situation. There is so many different things. You know, tax loss harvesting is a big one that I see that a lot of people that don't manage their or that do manage their own accounts don't do any type of tax loss harvesting on taxable accounts. That's silly. You know, then you're going to have this huge tax bill at the tail end because either you've never traded, never sold, you have these highly appreciated assets, and you're going to have a big chunk of change due to Uncle Sam, even though it's long-term capital gains, when you could have tax loss harvested the whole way up. So to me, there's so many different ways, Jack, but that's what we do. We are a tax-centric firm. We want to make sure tax efficiency is at the forefront.
Absolutely. 800-930-5905. Let's see. We've got time for another one here. Let's go to Gloria. Gloria says, do you pay a higher amount in taxes on a post-tax Roth IRA or a pre-tax 401k? My understanding is that with a 401k, you'd need to pay taxes on a much higher total, given the compounding interest over time versus the much smaller amount in a Roth IRA.
Well, Gloria, thank you for the question. And real simple answer here for the Roth versus the pre-tax. The Roth, you're not going to get that upfront tax deduction, but as long as you satisfy those two rules, 59 and a half and 5 years of being in force on that Roth, all the future earnings are tax-free. So your whole account is 100% tax-free. Uncle Sam, right now, the way the code is written, may that change? Hopefully not. But right now, it's tax-free. And you never have to worry about paying a dime. That is the beauty of the Roth IRA. The pre-tax is what we were just talking about with Jack. You don't want the lion's share of your money sitting in pre-tax accounts because 100% of it is taxable as ordinary income. And you can thank that little tax deduction you got up front on that contribution phase. Now you're going to pay the piper on the back end. So for me, the Roth IRA is king when it comes to tax efficiency. The pre-tax, nothing wrong with it, depending on your income level in retirement, whether we do want to do Roth conversions or you can let that IRA grow and then just manage distributions throughout the rest of your life to make sure that you're not jettisoning yourself in a higher tax bracket. Your second question, I'm looking at this, you need to pay taxes on a much higher total given the compounding interest over time versus the much smaller amount in the IRA. Okay, so you're talking about the post-tax, obviously, you have to pay taxes on it. So you're using after-tax money. So a smaller amount is going to go in. And obviously, the IRA is going to be worth more. If you're doing a side-by-side with the exact same contribution levels, the IRA is going to be a higher balance.
I like how you explained that, Joe, because, you know, sometimes I think people think, well, I don't have a Roth conversion. I must be doing something wrong. But It isn't necessarily right for everybody.
It isn't. It's all based on taxes. It's all based on your income. You know, what you pay, remember, ordinary income taxation on these pre-tax accounts. Ordinary income is just like you earned it. 100% of it is taxable. That doesn't mean you're going to pay 100% taxes on it. It means it's going to be taxed like your overall income. So adding that to your income in retirement could put some of your money in a higher tax bracket. That's the calculation. That's the math that we need to do for you to determine is a Roth better or is the IRA better? Should we be doing Roth conversions or not? It's one gigantic math problem. We know how to do them. We can show you for your situation the best way to go.
Sounds great, Joe. Folks, take advantage of this. Last time today, we're going to open up the phone lines and invite you to call 800-930-5905. Really, the goal of the show here is to help you make the best decisions for you, as Joe just explained. So if you do have questions about what we're talking about, how it might apply in your own situation, it's a phone call away. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. Joe, as always, a pleasure to chat with you. And this is one of my favorite hours of the week. Goes by quickly, and I love the information, especially today.
Yeah, we always have a good time, Steve. And like I said, I didn't get a chance to talk about the Phoenix Open. I froze, I was rained on, and I almost walked on a rattlesnake. So all those things happen. Everyone have a great week. I'll expound next week. Everyone have fun.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any type of securities. Joe Murphy, MWM Advisory Group, and Murphy Wealth Management are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of the information provided in this radio show and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Joe Murphy and his guests as the date of this show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on the assumptions and actual results may vary from such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making any investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on the information provided today in making any investment decision. There is a risk of loss from investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for a particular investor's financial situation or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.